Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Junior's ready. Stand by.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm joined here with my co-host, Frank Gao, and I got an awesome individual, you know, mastermind, Lan Nguyen from Dissident Arms. Now, Lan is one half of Dissident Arms. Him and Mike Whitesides started Dissident Arms from the ground up and built an incredibly accurate, reliable, and badass-looking shotgun. They have taken the time and money to support other major matches around the country, as well on put on very successful matches of their own. One thing I'm incredibly in awe of is Lan's luscious hair. It just flows through the air as he runs through stages. Before I continue with any more of the stuff and everything about your hair and wanting to, you know, put my fingers through it, Lan, can you tell everybody about yourself?
Yeah, well, my name is Lan Nguyen. I was basically born in Missouri, moved to Miami shortly after, and about when I was three, my family moved to Houston, Texas, and I've been here ever since. I, like you said, I'm one half of Dissident Arms. I'm the co-owner of Dissident Arms, and I began shooting competitively in about 2013, and everything's been kind of a blur ever since. It's very fortunate to be able to kind of establish a life and a business that you know, revolves around the thing I love the most, and that's shooting.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, we've all seen the rise of Open, you know, with your shotgun being the leading effort. Like before, you know, before it was like a bunch of tube fed guns where, you know, they had those quick load things and, you know, you just shove them down the tube. And now it's like there's an accurate, reliable, you know, box fed that people are just running toward. And it's taken three gun by storm, and it's awesome.
Really appreciate hearing that. I mean, and that's funny because that's really where it started from. I mean, Mike bought his first, he ran through all the different options for open guns, right? So he did start with the Benelli M2 with the speed loader. We purchased one of those. We purchased a couple of the available custom box fed guns that were, you know, on the market at the time. And it just, they were all kind of, they were missing something, right? Most of it was the reliability, like you said. And that's a lot of what we heard, you know, when we were trying to start out. People were like saying, you know, that's not a good platform to work off of, you know, they're never reliable and things like that. So we basically took the gun, the best box fed gun that he had at the time. We took it apart, we put it on the kitchen table, and we just looked at it and kind of figure out all the inefficiencies of the system and what we could do to make it better. So we figured out the reliability part, but there were still like a couple of things that were missing. And it was the left side charging handle and the internal choke system. And so that's when it was about the same time we started to partner with Briley, who's actually local to us in Houston. So we went over there, we asked them about a couple of things, and they helped us with the charging handle and the charging handle stud and the choke system. And then ever since that, I mean, they were really open to hearing, you know, our ideas about what parts needed to be made. And, you know, they've been very instrumental on the way. And so we did the chokes with them. And really, there's been two pivotal moments that really helped and launched Dissident Arms as a company. And I would say that would be in 2016, we sponsored a show. It's called the Big Gun 2 Sin City. And I think it had Jerry Michalik on there, Max Michelle, JJ Ricazza, and then Mike actually got to compete in it too. And so we were listed as a sponsor there. And then I think Mike got pretty far along the way. He got I think he got knocked out by old Wyatt Gibson or something like that. And so that was a big thing that, you know, helped us springboard. And then the second thing was Josh winning a 2018 Shotgun World Shoot. Those two things just kind of launched us into, you know, kind of off the ground, to be honest with you.
I find it pretty cool because it's very rare that you see a grassroots company, you know, just launch into the success as quickly as you do. And I mean, it was pretty amazing to see, you know, throughout my entire time in Three Gun.
I appreciate hearing that. I mean, it's really, I mean, to be honest, quite honest with you, we've been fortunate with great relationships and great business partners. And, you know, that being starting with Josh and Briley, and, you know, just going on to, you know, the people that we work with now, like IWI and things like that, and people like that. So we've been really fortunate to meet and befriend a lot of good people in the industry. So it's helped us a lot.
Hell yeah. You know, I kind of want to ask, you know, what, you know, because you have a couple different like box fed models, you know, the dissident arm shotguns, you have the KS model and you have the KL platform. What are the biggest differences with those two models?
The main difference obviously are going to be the base guns that we build off of. The KL line is built off of a Vepr shotgun, and the KS line or KS12 Elite, those are built off of KS12 shotguns, which are actually domestically sourced from Kalashnikov USA. The main differences, the fundamental differences between the two guns themselves, the Vepr 12 is based off an RPK, so it's a little bit more robust of a gun. It's got a bulge trunnion, it's a 1.5 millimeter receiver, it's got a hinge dust cover, it's got a pick rail on the dust cover, it's got a last round bolt hold open system that, like, some people have to have, and especially in IPSC shooting, it's very important to have because it allows you to drop that, you know, the bolt locks back, you insert a mag, and you can drop the bolt on a fresh round very quickly. So those are very important, or those are very, those are the main fundamental differences between the gun, because the KS12 is more of a Sega-based gun. So it's just a beefed up AK essentially. And so it doesn't have the last round bolt hold open system. It is a little bit lighter of a gun though. So if weight is an issue for some people, like some junior shooters or, you know, some female shooters or lady shooters, they want, you know, a little bit lighter gun, we can get about 8 ounces off of the gun, and, you know, lugging them around 8 ounces makes a difference.
Yep. No, I agree. And yeah. You guys do some serious work tuning these guns into full race ready machines. How long does it take to turn out a gun when someone puts in an order?
Our current lead time is about 10 to 14 weeks for a custom shotgun or a PCC, and it's about 12 to 16 weeks for a custom AK, which I think is, you know, on the low side for the industry.
Oh yeah, I mean, you look at some of these pistols that are being put out, and it's like, you know, some pistols, you're waiting a year, you're waiting 18 months. Like, you know, that's a quick turnaround. And I think some people don't realize how quick that is, because we're in the Amazon age, you know.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I put this order in, I sent you this in, when's it coming out? Hey man, this is like, people don't realize, like, gunsmithing work, if you want it done right, it takes time, you know. So,
oh yeah.
So I
definitely
mean,
so
that's a good timeline,
especially given the highly customized like nature of these guns. By the Infinity I just got in, that open gun was a year wait. There are some 1911 builders that take several years. I've heard of one that's 7 years, and I was like, yeah, just one of those like super niche, like 1911, and some of them too. Like I think Eddie Garcia only makes about 50 guns a year for whatever FFL purposes. But when I heard 7 years, I was like, hey, if I order it now, it might be a retirement gift for myself. But yeah, no, that's a very sporty turnaround time.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, some things do cause us to go over a little bit, but I don't think we've ever been past about 20 weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, we all shoot a sport where we put a lot of rounds through. We, as three gunners and as competitive shooters, we probably put more rounds through our guns than, you know, the average person puts on their gun in a lifetime. Like, and that's not a joke there. Like, you know, for some of us, you know, I remember in the peak of my competition season, whenever I was with the shooting team, I would shoot three matches, you know, back to back weekends. And, you know, I'm training 3, 4, 5 days a week. And, you know, you're putting anywhere from 200 to 400 rounds on a gun in a day. You know, that, and that was during the peak of my competitive shooting season. And I was probably doing tune-ups, you know, on that end, just switching springs out and stuff like that, you know, depending on what it was, every, you know, 3, 4 months. But now it's like, you know, I'm not shooting nearly as much as I used to. So I'm thinking maybe once a year, you know.
Right.
What's your recommendation, especially like on your guns, that you recommend sending in for tune-ups?
Well, I mean, the majority of the guns that we ship out, we actually, they don't have to come back to the shop. We've, you know, we'll tell people, it depends on how much you shoot and things like that, but it, to put it into relative terms, I know that Josh Froelich shot about 100,000 rounds, 110,000 rounds through the same gun, same serial number in 1 year, and all we had to do is respring it.
Hell yeah.
And so, yeah. And then there's a guy we have to, we're going to compete against from the UK. He's got 400,000 rounds on one of his guns. And so it's like, that's kind of crazy to hear, but I've asked him a couple of times and he says the number. And when I watch him shoot, he's pretty damn good. So,
nice.
Yeah, we know these guns don't, it doesn't take a lot to keep them running. But, you know, we do offer a service to have the gun shipped back to the shop, looked over by our techs, resprung and stuff like that. The majority of the time, the two things that they do the most is the deep cleaning and cleaning the choke installation, because three gunners don't like to do that shit, it seems.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I had somebody ask me this week, and he kind of works with, you know, he does different, he's a contractor and he deals with different lubricating oils for guns and for cleaning purposes. And he was just like, hey, how often do you clean your guns? I'm like, do you want the real answer here? He's like, well, yeah. I was like, well, I don't. Like, I may clean my guns right before a big match just to make sure everything is good. And any time in between then, all I'm doing is throwing some oil on it and just making sure it's lubed up. And then I'm going out to a match, you know, big matches. Hear
the break clean, then oil, and then they're ready to go. And that's what makes it kind of, you know, that's when we're like, okay, maybe you should send the gun back for us to take a look at and clean for you. But other than that, yeah, I mean, the guns are pretty resilient. I mean, like I said, we've got reports of lots of rounds through those guns and, you know, basically putting new recoil springs in them and you're good to go.
Yeah. So kind of moving on to something else, you know, modified division has taken over the three gun world. And I would attribute modified division as the old school open whenever we, you know, had whenever it was just, you know, tube fed guns, except they're not using the speed loaders or anything like that. But, you know, it's just, it's a new division. Everybody's kind of running toward it. And I had the opportunity to shoot Sean Muller's Disarms M2 Elite. It's one of the nicest shotguns I've shot, I'll tell you that. But what can you tell the listeners about everything that that gun has?
First, I appreciate hearing that, Matt. It never gets tiring to hear that you know, that our guns are appreciated or the work is. So, thanks for that. And secondly, basically most of the products on that gun, they were based off of my original 2018 modified shotgun. And so we did a left side charging handle service on that gun, came up with the, we worked with Briley to come up with, Well, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but it was actually a dovetail front sight, so they didn't get loose, because a lot of the old sights would get loose and walk. We had a purpose-built adjustable rear sight that had an optic plate that you could replace. But now I think we're using receiver plates to keep them a little bit lower and closer to the eye. Basically, oh, the match grade trigger, which I'm sure you noticed that. I mean, it was a very crisp reset and a very, you know, short break. And then the carbon fiber magazine tube. And then just as the progression of parts went along, we ended up working on the extended handguard on there. So you'll notice it had that handguard that had good purchase on it and allowed you to kind of go a little bit over the bore or over the barrel with your thumb so you can control it. And if you do load strong hand, that's when it's really, you see the real advantage, because you can roll over the gun without burning your hand and then load.
Yep.
So, and at the time there wasn't a modified division here in the States that we offered in three gun, but it was a very popular IPSC division. And so, it was weird that it never took off, but, I'm glad it is now, because I mean, it's a great division. It's fun. You know, like you said, you get a dot on a shotgun, but you still have to quad load it. And so, you know, you have to worry with stuff like that. But yeah, I enjoyed shooting on the modified team. And, you know, I thought that it was a great division, and that's why we kind of pushed those parts along. And I'm glad to see it's the next hot thing.
Oh yeah. Like, I know in North Carolina, when I go down there to compete, the last match I shot, everybody was open, modified, and then only six of us were TAC Ops. And I'm just like, holy shit, TAC Ops has turned into the new limited down here. And, you know, I get why that is. You know, like, one, it's not just the division, but if you look at the majority of the competitors down in North Carolina area and what they do for a living, those competitors, given what they do for a living, have all switched over to dots. Yep. So, you know, train the way you fight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we have big group of supporters over there in like Zoo City area and mm-hmm. that club. Yeah, it's grown exponentially. There's a couple of cats over there that are funny as hell, like RJ and stuff like that. guys like that. So, we got to see them, you know, at Memorial, and it was awesome to see, you know, how big Open was there too, and modified as well. And like you said, TAC is getting smaller and smaller, and you know, who would have thought we'd see the day where that happened, you know?
I know. I mean, before it would be 150 competitors shooting TACs, you know, maybe 20 competitors shooting Open, and then you'd have people sprinkled throughout heavy or limited. And yeah, now it's, I would say, still at the major matches, I would say there's a very big balance between TAC and modified and Open. They're almost in thirds at this point. But I think as this season comes to a close, I think, and this is just my prediction, and with the way seeing things are going, I think there's going to be less people shooting TAC Ops next year, and the majority of people are just going to be switching modified and Open. I mean, shoot, I'm going to be switching over and shooting Open utilizing a dissident arm shotgun. So I'm excited.
Welcome to the party.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Speaking about the prevalence of your guns, we've mentioned a lot of the different dissident shooters that are going to be attending World Shoot, which is in Thailand, coming really in a couple of weeks. So do you have an idea of like what percentage of the open population going to World Shoot is utilizing your guns? And can you like just name some of the countries that are shooting dissidents going into Thailand?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I gave you a number, like a percentage, but I know out of the 36 shooters in the U.S. delegation, we've got 12 shooters utilizing our shotguns. And I know that we have national team members in South Africa, Great Britain, the UK, Argentina, and I think even Brazil and the national team for Thailand as well. So the hosting team, they're actually utilizing our shotguns as well. So it's something that's, you know, crazy to think about. I mean, you know, we've thought about it, and basically we've got shotguns on six continents on the, you know, in the world. And if anybody knows anyone in Antarctica, then we'd like to ship them a shotgun if they're interested in buying one.
I have a quick question. I just have a quick question about the shooter from the UK. Is that shooter that's from the UK, is he one of the regular three-gun guys that we know?
Well, one of the guys, Ben Ducker, yep. He just came over and shot. He's shooting one of our guns. He was I think he was the last UK champion. And there's another guy that's come on the scene. You know, he's the guy that shot about 400,000 rounds. It's his name's Hang Phan. And so they're gonna have a strong team. Yeah, we're about to meet them over there, but they're gonna have a really strong team over there, and it's gonna be fun. We're squatted together, so you know,
The guys I know is like John Axe, Ben Ducker, John and Clive, those guys, like those are the four shotgunners that I know.
Yeah, we talked to them, and I think they're gonna sit this one out, because what they were saying is they'd rather come to the U.S. and shoot three gun than only have one trip to Thailand, which, you know, I can appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys are fully dedicated as a custom shop building all these shotguns, but you also host local club matches and you host majors as well. So what is the major match that you host, and where exactly is that located?
The biggest match that we host is called Kalash Bash Texas. It's an AK focused event. And it really is an event. It's half competition and half like festival, like basically a Woodstock for AKs, if you will. We've got concerts at night. We got a night vision shootout that night. There's camping there, bonfires, all sorts of stuff. This year, we opened sales for competition tickets on November 1st, and we sold out 308 slots in 17 minutes.
Holy shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We're estimated, I think, about 1,000 people will be on site. And so there's got over 60 vendors. They get FaceTime with, you know, over 1,000 people. And it's just it's a little bit different approach to the whole shooting match and event thing. And so we teamed up with two guys that have a pretty good standing in the AK community. And they knew that we had, you know, a good standing in the competition community. And so we just kind of melded over brats and beer, actually. And then we ended up with the idea of Kalash Bash. So we helped host it at some range called the Ranch Texas in Eagle Lake, which is about an hour outside or hour west of Houston. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's a bit of a philosophical question that we've talked to with various match directors, the balance between having an event be competition focused and community focused. And it seems like you guys have more or less struck a balance. Is that your ideal composition for a major match? Do you feel like these matches should have a little bit of both? Or is it just the kind of thing where like you're going to this certain match because you know it's going to be the peak of like competition, you know this one's going to be more of a good time?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, because when we first heard of three gun, we heard of like the old Soldier of Fortune matches, and I think those used to bring in like 1,000 people. And so we were like, well, why the hell can't we still do this, right? And so, I mean, think about that. You got 1,000 people, you got vendors talking to not only competitors, but actual general admission who, let's face it, three gunners, we got our own shit already. We've already bought it. We figured it out. And so when you're at a match and you're you know, going to vendor booths and stuff like that, you've kind of already got your thing. And until something really, really sells you, you know, you're kind of set in your ways. But all the rest of the crowd, those guys don't have anything. They're there to be influenced, if you will, right? So they want to see the people, the coolest stuff, the fastest stuff, and, you know, have a chance to buy. And I think that that was our idea. It's like, you know, like when you're at a match and you got, you know, a vendor demo or a vendor booth, it's you're generally beat up, you know, after the stages or long day, and sometimes you just walk by, and you know, it kind of sucks. So we wanted to figure out a way to kind of bring it all together and give value to the vendors and have it more of a festival. Like, it's like a carnival. We got carnivals, side shoots, and stuff like that. We give away random prizes for the best LARPer, like straight up. If you want to dress, I'm serious, dude. The guy that won last year was dressed up as an astronaut, and he shot the whole freaking match as an astronaut. It's crazy. But like, people like that, they win guns. They win, you know, full cases of ammo, all sorts of cool stuff. And so I think it's that, you know, bringing the community in, kind of making a festival and doing things like that. I mean, it kind of organically grew into that, but I think that's where it's at. I really do.
Yeah, that's great. And I think those types of events definitely have a place within the shooting community. There are definitely matches out there that you can go to if you just want to shoot. But I think it's nice that people can actually hang out and get to know each other and also broaden their horizons. While we're talking about the AK, that's obviously what you all specialize in at Distant Arms. But it's no, you know, it's no, there's no way around it. America has a love affair with the AR platform, and yet you've managed to create a dedicated segment within the shooting sports to the AK platform. So two-part question. What are some difficulties that you encountered initially in promoting really what's an underdog platform? And then the second part of it is, as a gunsmith and competitor, is there another like marginalized platform that isn't seeing wide use that you think could then also become viable in the competitive sphere?
I guess the answer to the first part of the question is it was lack of aftermarket parts. Like at the time, there weren't a lot of people or manufacturers putting out quality parts for AK. And there's so many different variants and so many different builders that there's no spec for an AK. So it's hard to put out something and think, you know, the normal guy can just put it on. I mean, there's hand fitting of everything, right? And so it's kind of weird though, because like when we started, like about the same time that we started Kalash Bash, like the industry was kind of having an AK renaissance, I would say. And so I say that because more people started getting into AKs. The AR was, everybody had an AR or five. They've already dressed them all up. They've already, you know, I've got one for this, one for that, one for this. And the AK wasn't really a platform that you could really do that with until more aftermarket support started coming out. So once we started seeing more parts and more premium parts, like, it's no secret that whenever we were building guns and if we didn't manufacture the parts ourselves, then we would go out and get the premium parts and use the best parts to make the best, you know, stuff. And so we, you know, that was the main thing. And we recently started working with a gentleman who's been, he's like an OG of the custom AK world. And his name's Mark Krebs. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. So he had some products that were kind of ahead of their time, and he used to do IPSC shooting and all that kind of stuff. And so we worked with him, and a couple of his parts are here to kind of revitalize them. And so it's, you know, he came up with this speed load plate right here. And so it's an indexing plate to make loading quicker. There's the magazine, there's an ejection system that ejects the mag. And so, you know how most AKs, you have to actually rake it out, or you see people rake it or stuff like that. Right. And so you load it up really easy. And then we put it with our thumb mag release. And so now you don't even have to break your grip. Your mag comes out and then you can already go to the belt for another mag. And so we reached out to him and we were like, listen, that system, you know, we need to start bringing that back. And so he really never worked with anybody or trusted, I don't think, anybody else to start installing his parts. And so we worked with him to bring this up. And I think that, you know, more and more people are going to start being more and more, I guess, innovative, if you will, with the AK, and make it to where it's more like the AR, where you can basically dress it up.
Yeah. I was going to say, like you said, lack of aftermarket support, but you guys have become the de facto, you know, aftermarket retailer, just in terms of a lot of the parts, safety modifications, mag release modifications, that whole bolt, last round, bolt hold open feature that you were talking about. So in creating your guys' shotguns, you're at the point where, you know, you have all your shotguns, you have a bunch of shotguns going to the world shoot, you have brand recognition. There's a very unique aesthetic to the distant arm shotgun that it's instantly recognizable, whether it's the obnoxiously long magazine or just some of the other modifications that you guys have done to it. And at that point, you start to also get collectors, right? You get to people who just want to own the shotguns for the cool factor. They might shoot a little bit, but they're not necessarily hardcore competitors. So have you seen that balance or that split in the work that you guys are doing between diehard shooters and then also collectors and enthusiasts? And is there like any functional difference in the way that you might approach catering to either group?
When we first started, it was probably 95% hardcore shooters, 5% collectors. But I think as we've grown the brand and we've gotten more exposure, we're probably about a 70-30 split right now. And you can tell the collectors because they'll just call up and just be like, okay, I want the best and I'll trust what you build me, right? And so we'll build them a gun and send it out to them and they'll be happy with it. We'll never hear from them again, which is kind of a good or a bad. I'm not sure how to take that, right? Yeah. Until they call back for another gun or something like that. But typically, you know, no news is good news, right? So, but yeah, we've sold, you know, quite a few guns to some high profile people, but I'm pretty sure that they're safe queens for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I mean, they are very, very beautiful guns, and I understand why people would want to collect them. The aesthetics. I'm the kind of guy who, like, I really don't care if my guns are ugly, but the Distant Arms are very beautiful guns. Now, at your guys' shop, do you guys do everything in house? And then, if there are some functions that you have outsourced, how did you arrive at that conclusion? And I guess what functions did you guys decide to outsource?
We do outsource some work, and in particular, like the choke installation and the choke manufacturing, the Briley, because let's face it, they're the experts there. And, you know, why reinvent the wheel? And then so we also have teamed up with a couple of small manufacturers to come out with some parts like for the Jericho pistols and things like that. And most of it, they're based off of friendships already and, you know, just trying to help each other's businesses and brands grow. And so if they're trying to white label stuff, we want to help feed them business and it just works out for the best. And that's like, that's the way we like to keep things pretty much in the family, if you will. And so it, like I said, we've been very fortunate to have made some really good relationships and friendships along the way.
Great. I know Matt has a follow-up question, but I might have missed it somewhere. Can you explain the thought process behind your guys' logo?
Yeah. We were drinking one day.
That's how all the best ideas start.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was kind of, you know, I was kind of a Star Wars nerd. I was looking at the Mandalorian, you know, basically the Mandalorian logo, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's a take off the tusks, but then it's a D and an A. And that's all it is. Yep. Nice. And then there's a star in there for Texas, obviously. So we wanted to pay homage to Texas. And that's Lan, basically how it came up.
Lan, you're feeding my inner nerd right now.
I mean, I'm telling you, I was pretty drunk. And I don't know how I sold it to Mike, but here we are.
It's a simple logo. It's eye-catching. And people now recognize it all over the world. So, yeah. Nice.
I'm going to need Appreciate to get a hat now.
And I'm yeah, tell yeah, people we'll have some for you.
Yeah, yep. That's awesome. I just had a quick question. I know you guys, like we kind of discussed partnerships and feeding business and everything. And I know, like, IWI, like you and Jeremy Gresham work a lot hand in hand together. But one of the latest innovations that you guys came up with, maybe not with IWI, but, you know, and they could have had a part to play too. I don't know, but you recently made a partnership with in development with Three Gun Competition shotgun ammo. Can you tell us how that kind of all surfaced?
Oh, yeah. So, well, it was kind of an odd thing. I mean, we didn't really think that we would get the meeting, but we asked for a meeting with the engineers at Federal. And Josh, you know, obviously Josh Bolick, sponsored by them, and he's been working with them closely for a while now. And, you know, a big behind the scenes guy, Travis Vogel with Vortex, a couple of people got together and the right industry people got the right ear, bent the right ears. And we ended up having a meeting with Federal. So we went there sat down and, you know, talked to them for like an hour and told them what we wanted. And so basically they opened up, so they opened up the refrigerator and they were like, these are our components. What do you want? And so we just said, well, we want this, 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 and this. And I think that's really important. And that'll work for an ammunition for box bed. We left the meeting. And I mean, it was kind of on a positive note, but you never know. I mean, they're, you know, you don't, to move the needle at $1 billion plus company, it's hard, right? Especially for a niche of a niche, because we all know that action shot or action shooting in general, in three gun especially, is a very small sliver of the shooting community. Mm-hmm. As big as we want to think it is, it's not really, right? So after the meeting, it went back and forth with the engineers for a little bit, and then all of a sudden we got sent to the prototype, or the, you know, product engineering samples. We're like, holy shit, this is actually moving along. So we tested it with the guns and everything was flawless, and you know, they released it. And so it's, I wouldn't say it's a true partnership, but they listened to what we said and we're buying what they're putting together. So and it's been great. I mean, we you know, we bought, I think there's a pallet of it going over to Thailand for the delegation. And we've been selling through it, you know, on our website. And so there's been no complaints. And like I said, for a company like that to listen to us and, you know, have us being that small of a market, they listened, they put it out there. It was a pretty big thing for us. And it, you know, the community has been very supportive of it, and we appreciate that. So, you know, it's one of those things that you didn't think would happen, but it does happen. And again, it's the relationships and the things that you know, you build, and that's where you get.
Now, we appreciate everything that you guys have done. Like, you know, we are such a small community, and for some people to take on such large endeavors for niche communities, it does mean a lot. And, you know, a lot of it, like you said, is just built off of the relationships that we build. So, you know, you guys do a lot with sponsoring matches. You guys do a lot, you know, within the community, and a lot to just, you know, support and feed people's habits. And you guys are now going to take the time. And as much as we say it's, oh, you're just going out to shoot a match in another country, that's a lot of time and effort to put in. And, you know, we thank you. Like, you guys are representing Team USA at the highest level in the action shooting sports. So, you know, all I can say is good luck, have fun, and represent us the way we know you guys will.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate that. And like I said, it all started with a love of shooting. I saw this as, you know, you were able to do it well into our 60s and beyond. And I wouldn't get very far by screwing a bunch of people and selling bad shit. And so I want to go out to matches, see you guys with a smile and all of us having fun, you know, and that's what it's all about. So I appreciate hearing that. But like I said, it's all for the love of shooting. And, you know, we're glad that, you know, some people are able to find a little bit of advantage or a little bit of, you know, the things that we're doing as good. So it's great to hear.
Yeah. So, we've asked you a lot of questions, and now we want to take the time and turn this over to you. And is there anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with?
I just like to thank you and Frank for, you know, giving me the opportunity to tell my story, I guess you would say, and promote the brand. And, you know, thanks to everybody for their support. And, it's been a wild ride, and I'm looking forward to many more years out there with y'all.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you at the next match. You know, hopefully I can either get out to Texas or we can meet somewhere at another match that's, you know, close to either one of us. But to the listeners, we hope you really enjoyed this. If you haven't heard of Dissident Arms, please go take a look. You will be thoroughly impressed with everything that they have. They're not just beautiful guns. They are workhorses that will take care of you. So on top of that, please, you know, if you enjoyed this episode, give us some feedback, tell us how we're doing, and, you know, we hope to catch you next time.